will be,
spoke the first face before it mated with the fifth and was eaten by their children, who phased into a unisex progenitor that underwent mitosis.
Death, mercy, salvation, hope, choice, 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 choose.
It took a time beyond Richter's ability to understand for the seven lords of chaos to stop their argument. But he did know that one photon had traveled beyond the curve of the universe and found itself lonely. The lords had agreed, though, on the one thing that always unified them, the one constant of their constantly shifting nature: choice. It took further ages beyond measure where suns hatched dragons before Richter realized that the word that had been echoing the whole time was actually an order and, marvel of marvels, it was directed at him. He wasn't even sure that he knew what him was, but for the first time in seven eternities, Richter had an orientation. The simultaneous, infinite realities of the realm of chaos were too much for his mortal mind, and could barely be survived by the quasi-immortality of his soul. But now he was given one chance among an immeasurable number to save himself. Now a full-grown man, still floating in the light, he saw beneath his feet every possibility. Acts of profound joy, worlds of hatred, galaxies of unfeeling robots and universes of peace so oppressive that gods prayed to demons for mercy. Each represented an ideal and a concept in every possible variation. The deepest part of himself understood that he was being given a choice of what principle he cherished above all others. For Richter, given every choice in existence, there was none. Without speaking, before he was even born, his choice had been made. Freedom. There was a moment of intense quiet as the seven faces of the Lords of Chaos observed his infinitesimal insignificance. Then they all sped around the periphery of the circle they had made around him, slamming into one another and merging into one. That singular visage regarded Richter's naked form. Its mouth opened. It yawned wider and wider, impossibly large, until it swallowed not only Richter, but the entire reality he dwelt in, and then itself. He floated through memory and time.
Richter. Richter.
The voice was gentle and reassuring. The Chaos Seed opened his eyes, marveling for a moment that he had eyes, and saw a kind-looking man sitting across from him. That was when Richter realized he was sitting. That was when he realized he could feel again. Looking around, he saw that they were in a cozy wooden room. A fireplace was set against one wall and a merry blaze danced inside of it. He could feel a faint bit of heat on the side of his face. It didn't feel hot, just nice and warm. The chair he was sitting in was plush. It held him with just the right amount of support and was upholstered in a soft red velvet. A thick rug was beneath his feet, but his bare toes felt nothing but softness as they kneaded its furry top. Across from him sat the man that had spoken. He was a white man about 50 or 60 years of age, but laugh lines and a kind smile made him seem younger. He was wearing brown linen pants and a simple white long-sleeved shirt that looked like it was made out of soft and supple cotton. The man was looking at Richter, waiting for him to collect himself. He was reclined easily back in his own red chair and seemed content to patiently wait. A side table nestled against the side of his chair with a silver tray resting atop it. A teapot and two small cups rested atop that. Richter could detect the faint scent of mint. There were no exits from the room that the Chaos Seed could see, except for possibly the fireplace, but he didn't plan to dive into the flames. Besides, this was literally one of the most relaxing and calming rooms he had ever been in. His thoughts still felt a bit scattered, but after a minute, he had collected enough of himself to want more information. He used Analyze on the man. Nothing happened. That was not exactly true. Something did happen, just not what Richter had expected. No status window appeared, but the man did laugh.
I'm afraid none of your skills, abilities, or magic will work here, young Chaos Seed.
The man's voice was friendly and kind, as it had been before, a fact which really did set Richter at ease. He realized he shouldn't be so relaxed, but it didn't change the fact that he just wanted to trust this man. Another distant part of him realized there was probably some magic at work here, but he just couldn't bring himself to care.
Allow me to introduce myself. I'm one of the infinite archetypes of the Lords of Chaos. I was selected to speak with you because of your
choice,
and because being exposed to the raw power of the Lords was ripping your essence apart.
Richter had thought back to the eternities that had just passed in the blink of an eye and couldn't disagree. He only remembered vague flashes, a laugh, a scream, an intense hunger so great he could devour whole worlds. Somehow that last snippet of memory disturbed him intensely. Was that his hunger, or something hungering for him? The archetype waited for Richter to deal with his internal thoughts, once again exhibiting saintly patience. When the Chaos Seed met his eyes once more, the older man continued.
For convenience sake, you may call me Pug.
His eyes glittered with devilment as Richter's own eyes widened.
No relation, he added, but Richter was almost sure he caught a wink as the man turned his head to the side and coughed. Let me give you some information, Pug told him. When you claimed a memory from the other Chaos Seed Heman, the memory that you gained was actually from his time in the Realm of Chaos.
That place with all those people strapped to tables? Richter asked. That was real? One thing he did remember were the wails of pain and fear coming from what had looked like hundreds of thousands of people being restrained.
Yes, Pug replied with sympathy in his voice. You already know how deleterious being exposed to the realm can be for your people. The tables help to limit the possibility curve and keep their essence more or less intact. At least, for most. And before you ask, the answer is yes. You went through this process as well.
Richter blinked, processing that as he continued to listen.
Your world was touched by the Lords of Chaos millions of years before you were born. A small spark of their infinite was left in your species. I do not know why. As an archetype, I know many things, but can still only grasp the smallest iota of the Lord's true power and knowledge. What I do know is that they were unhappy to find that your planet, their planet, had been harvested. They have now put a stop to it through your own actions, but not before hundreds of millions of Earthers had been brought to the land.
Through my actions?
Yes. It was your action of touching the first crystal shard and ending the epic of banished gods that let the Age of Chaos begin. It greatly increased the Lord's power in the land and allowed them to exert influence, not only on Earth, but also on the world you now call home.
Anger began to swell in Richter's heart, an anger that had been denied to him for many months. If they didn't like it, if they're so powerful, then why did they have to wait for me? Why couldn't they have stopped all of this from happening before we were all taken? Richter demanded. Before I was taken from my family! He stopped talking, extremely confused. Why did he suddenly care that he hadn't seen his family? Why was he so angry? Pug wasn't bothered by the outburst. Instead, he just nodded in sympathy, understanding more about Richter's heart than the Chaos Seed did himself.
The Lord's power is the mastery of infinite possibility, but possibility is not the only infinite power. I hope you are not offended when I tell you that any further explanation would be too complicated for you to understand. After what you have experienced, I believe you know in your heart that I speak the truth.
He waited until the defiance left Richter's face before continuing. If the Chaos Seed hadn't even been able to tolerate existing in the realm of chaos, he probably did literally lack the capacity to understand the motivations of its lords, let alone their relationship with other infinite powers. The archetype continued speaking.
Suffice it to say, they had to wait until the conditions were right. Until you, or another Chaos Seed, released more chaotic essence into the land. I understand your frustration more than you know, but you should feel proud. No more of your people can be taken from the Earth against their will. I must tell you, however, that the corridor between the land and Earth, now that has been created, can never be fully sundered. Humans may still find their way to the land, if they so choose.
Can anyone find their way back? Richter asked with desperation in his voice. He missed his friends and family desperately. It was as if all his emotions had been trapped behind a dam for months, but now that barrier had burst. He felt like he was drowning in heartache and sorrow. Pug looked at him intently. The Chaos Seed had no idea what the archetype was seeing, but it wasn't long before Pug's eyes widened slightly in comprehension. The older man stared intently at him, and a moment later, the tsunami of feelings eased inside the Chaos Seed. Richter heaved a sigh of relief. His breath had even started coming faster without him knowing it in response to his worsening emotional instability. Being free from the maelstrom of feelings was a blessing, and he looked at the archetype thankfully. He still felt his emotions, but they were coming at a more manageable level.
I apologize, Pug told him with sincerity. I have not existed in a corporeal state for several eons. It did not occur to me that removing the block could overwhelm you.
The block? Pug looked hesitant.
We can discuss that in a moment. For now, let me tell you that the beings that abducted you belong to an ancient race called the Dark Court.
The originals? Richter interrupted.
Yes, and their offspring, the Dark Exiles. The Light Court may have been involved with abducting humans taken after you. There is much that remains unclear. Somehow, despite the protections the Lords of Chaos put in place, the Dark Court discovered Earth. As far as the Lords have been able to deduce, the Court had planned for the sparks of chaos inside of each of you to be released upon your deaths. Over time, the amount of higher energy could accumulate and might very well have destroyed the land. Of course, by its very nature, chaos energy might do anything.
Doesn't sound like a solid plan, Richter commented. Pug pursed his lips ruefully.
As I said, there is much that we still do not know. What I can tell you is that though the Lords cannot stop the exodus of their children into the land,
he held up a finger with a devilish smile,
they were able to delay it a bit. By bringing each of you here to the realm of chaos first, they were able to change you. Some of you gained powerful abilities. Others changed their race. All of you were given extra lives. The effects were varied, as every seed of chaos within your people is, by their very nature, unique. The Lords could not stop your abductions, but they were able to gift you and your people with a chance to be more than just fodder. Finally, they found a way to stop at least some of the chaos inside all of you from just being released into the land to wreak havoc. They ensured that if one Chaos Seed were killed by another, the chaos inside of them would be captured, rather than just released. Everything, except for the initial seed of chaos that each of your souls grew from, could be harvested and used to make each of you stronger.
Richter's eyes grew wide, and his heart started thudding again, this time in anger. That was because of you? You and your lords? You say that like it's a gift. I was almost butchered because of that. That piece of shit Heman killed, I don't know how many others, because you set us up for some Highlander Lord of the Flies bullshit. Pug's demeanor turned quick as a tornado. He bounded up from his chair, crossed half the 5 feet separating them, and stabbed a finger into Richter's face. The kind old man was gone. What was there in its place was the wrath of an immortal archetype.
Do not blame the Lords for your own choices. Each and every one of you signed the contract. It was buried in the fine print of the game. You had to click past it each and every time you decided to play.
Almost none of you ever paid attention, and the few that did thought it was a joke. A joke! As if a fear of such magical contracts had not been embedded into your very psyches. Do not deny it, for I know that it was. Every single culture that evolved on your planet had cautionary tales about the dangers of making deals with higher powers. The lords are not to blame for the careless arrogance of your people. You are!
Richter leaned back in his chair, stunned. He couldn't deny the truth of the archetype's words, though. While many gamers hadn't known about the contract, serious players like himself and his friends had deep-dived on forums and message boards. He and Crush had even had a good laugh about it. They had just thought it was a joke. After learning the importance of words since coming to the land, that defense seemed beyond weak. Still, the archetype wasn't done.
Even then, even with the pure stupidity, he spat the word, of nearly a billion of your people signing that contract, day after day, each time laying the framework for the magic that brought you to the land, the spell would not have worked. The lack of magic on Earth made it like a rune that had never been awakened. The contract was not enough.
The archetype leaned over Richter now, both hands on either arm of the chair.
Can you think of anything that might have powered their spell, young chaos seed? Anything that might have breathed life into such a magical construct? Anything that might have given the spell form access to the only magic that exists on your planet?
Pug stood there, staring implacably at Richter, not letting him hide from the truth. The answer was obvious. If the archetype was telling the truth, and in his heart Richter knew that he was, then the only magic on Earth was chaos. If that was true, then the only plausible answer was me. It was me. I triggered the spell, he answered quietly. The enormity of what he had done pressed him back in his chair as much as Pug's unyielding stare. The older man's demeanor calmed again, and he stopped looming over the overwhelmed chaos seed.
Yes, he affirmed softly. You were asked if you would willingly leave your home. You were asked if, as the agent of your people, would you embrace a life of adventure and danger, love and betrayal, power and wonder, so that you would be among the first to move forward, preparing the way for others. Using your choice, they could use the chaos magic within you, and they bound it with the ancient magic of three.
Thrice heard and witnessed. Richter echoed in horror, remembering the last words he had ever heard on Earth.
Yes,
Pug affirmed again, but gentler this time. His demeanor eased, and he had adopted the kindly expression he had had before. Anger was no longer required to help Richter see the truth. His tone was softer, but he did not protect the chaos seed from the truth. There had been consequences to the choice that had been made.
The fault does not lie with you alone, the archetype continued. Your single seed of chaos was not enough to power the entire spell form, though it was enough to ensure your transport. Others had to willingly make the same choice you made. Each of you fed the Dark Court's spell with the very chaotic spark that had been passed on to each of you through your bloodline. You each chose to leave your lives behind, and anchored for all eternity by the magic of three, your choice, which is the very essence of chaos, gave birth to a spell that could control your entire world. Once it was strong enough, your people could be stolen, even if they did not verbally agree as you had. The court was even able to steal their minds and souls when they were not in the game. Because of your choice, hundreds of millions of humans have come to the land and have found miracles and nightmares alike.
Richter sat there reeling from the truth that had been laid out before him. They had done this to themselves. He had done this. He had chosen to leave his loved ones. When he had spoken to the voice in the Castle of Transition, he hadn't spared a single moment, not a single thought for his mother, or for his father or brother. He
he hadn't spared a single thought for her. A single tear fell from his eye.
As you have already found, Pug continued as he sat back down, one more thing was done to you before you arrived in the land. It was decided that if you and your people were going to have any chance of surviving, you had to be fully committed to your new lives. For that reason, a block was placed in your minds. You would remember your lives on Earth and remember the people you left behind, but you would not be able to access the very emotions that you are struggling with right now. Every abductee was altered in a small but fundamental way so that you would not try to return home. It was done to make you stronger.
Pug hung his head, and if Richter did not know better, he would have thought the man was feeling shame. Quiet reigned for nearly a minute before Richter quietly asked, "You made me forget the love I had for my family?" Pug looked back up, staring the Chaos Seed in the face, before simply answering,
"Yes."
Richter's emotions surged again, once again threatening to overwhelm him. Even with whatever the archetype had done before, the Chaos Seed felt himself drowning once again. His body was overwhelmed by the emotions surging through it. His capacity to process them was met, then overwhelmed, forcing his body to weep. He stared at the older man, tears tracking down his cheeks, feeling as if he was being torn apart.
"Forgive me," Pug sighed. "I am blowing your mind."
The archetype sat forward and placed his hands together.
"I know you have many questions. I also know, however, that the effect the answers will have on you might literally be more than you can survive. As it is, I expected to have to reconstruct your mind after its having been subjected to the realm of chaos for so long. But your mind and soul seem more resilient than they should be. Luckily, I have a solution that will give you your answers and protect your essence. Please remain calm. This might feel a little weird."
With that, he pulled his hands apart and Richter doubled. The Chaos Seed blinked. Both versions of himself. Somehow, in a way he couldn't even begin to understand, he knew there were now two versions of the room he was in, two versions of the archetype, even two versions of the soft rug beneath his feet. Additionally, in each room there was a version of him. There was another effect to the doubling. The onslaught of emotions each Richter was feeling halved in intensity. Pug nodded to him. Then both versions of the archetype placed their hands together again. Pulling them apart a second time, there were suddenly four Richters. The archetype did it again, and again, and again, 10 times, until there were 1,024 versions of Richter, Pug, and the wonderfully thick carpet under his feet. With that many copies, the emotional turmoil the Chaos Seed felt was nothing more than a low burn.
"This will help," Pug told him. "Your mind will remain connected to the variations of yourself, but the consequences of your questions and the emotional toll that comes with them will be decreased 1,000-fold. Ask your questions."
So Richter did. Literally thousands of questions that were burning inside of him, each asked by a different version of himself. He learned that years had indeed passed on Earth since he'd been taken. He learned why the Age of Chaos had needed to come to stop the Dark Court. He learned the consequences of what would happen if either court ever escaped their prison, and why the Lords of Chaos needed him and the other Chaos Seeds to keep that from ever happening. His eyes were opened, and he knew. One by one, the various Richters ran out of questions until the last one fell silent. Each Richter dealt with the emotional repercussions of his individual questions until each had them under control. Once that was done, Pug held his arms wide, then slapped them together with a thundering clap. All 1,024 rooms collapsed into one. The one remaining Chaos Seed grabbed his head in both hands, screaming, but after a word from Pug, the pain vanished. Once again, the archetype waited for Richter to collect himself.
The Chaos Seed finally came out of his own head and noticed that Pug seemed to be wrestling with something himself. Richter looked askance at him, and the archetype made a choice of his own.
I have a function to perform, given to me by the lords, but I also have free will. I could not be an archetype of chaos without choice. That is why I choose to give you this knowledge. All chaos seeds were changed in some way by their passage through the realm, but others, such as yourself, were given special gifts.
Why? More questions spun in Richter's mind, but he decided simplicity was best. Pug took a measured breath before continuing.
The lords did want to protect your earth and the chaos seeds that were stolen from it, but they also saw a responsibility to protect the land from their children. Hundreds of millions of you have left, or will soon leave the realm and descend upon that world. The lords know well that choice allows for the noblest good, but also the most depraved evil. In a very real way, the Chaos Seeds could become the new apex predator of the land.
Richter nodded. He had had that same fear since arriving in the land, and his experience with He-Man obviously supported that concern in spades. He was fairly confident that not every Chaos Seed would be like that, but then again, if they were given abilities like He-Man's, great power had always had a penchant to corrupt those who used it.
What did they do to deal with that problem? Richter asked. Because whatever they thought they were doing, they completely fucked up. He-Man was a horrible person, and I'm pretty sure at some point he'll be reborn to commit even worse atrocities than he's already done. Why didn't the Lord stop him?
Pug sighed again.
They did. They used you.
Richter blinked in confusion.
You and a select few other Chaos Seeds were given abilities and gifts greater than the rest. You were given the potential to become truly powerful.
Why? Do you think I'm a saint or something? I promise you I'm not.
I know well what you are, Richter. I also know what you have done.
Pug waved a hand and one wall disappeared. In its place was a frozen image of Richter's dragon form standing over He-Man's burnt body. The picture unfroze, and Richter watched himself torture He-Man to death. He saw the glee in his draconian eyes and heard the other Chaos Seeds' cries for mercy go unanswered. Richter watched the entire sequence, then turned to Pug, ready to defend himself and his actions. The man had tortured him. He'd been a monster. So what if Richter had enjoyed the payback? He wasn't a bad person. He protected people. The Chaos Seed was ready to shout all of that and more, but the expression on Pug's face was not accusing. The archetype was not preparing to verbally attack Richter. He was looking at him in pity.
You were not selected because you are a good person, Richter. You were selected because you have a darkness inside of you. While you are not blatantly evil like He-Man, you love battle and challenge. It is remarkable how you have channeled the beast within you, but it does not change what you are. You push at boundaries that were never meant to be crossed and ignore the consequences. You are someone who seeks power almost as fiercely as you seek freedom. You built a village and accumulate monuments that cannot help but invite challenge.
Richter, Pug spoke his name gently,
you were not selected to save other Chaos Seeds. In the land, your people could become horrible predators. The lords need a monster to hunt them.
Richter was flooded with emotions once again. He didn't know what he was feeling. He'd been selected to kill other Chaos Seeds? Did that make him worse? Did that make him evil? There was no way he could make sense of the tumult, so he defaulted to anger.
You're saying I'm supposed to kill the people that were brought to the land? And what? I have to be a horrible monster to do it?
No,
Pug told him, unfazed by the Chaos Seed's anger.
You have a choice. You can choose a life of peace. The lords would never infringe upon that. You have a choice.
Then why are you looking at me with all that pity? Richter cried out to him.
because when you were given the option to be a man or a monster...
Pug turned toward the wall, showing his dragon form slowly killing He-Man.
You made your choice.
The archetype waved his hand again, and the wall became simple brown wood once more. The two of them sat in silence as Richter digested what had been said. He still wanted to yell and scream that it wasn't his fault, that Pug didn't understand. But he remembered how good it had felt to make He-Man suffer just a bit of the pain he had visited on others. Even now, he wanted to smile at the memory. Maybe it was for the best, he decided. Not every soldier for good could have wings. Some needed to be able to live in the shadows. Only there could they serve the light. Maybe not shadows, he realized. Shadows weren't the only thing that could hide you. Maybe he had always been fated to walk the line between good and evil, light and dark. Maybe he had always been fated to walk in the mists. The two men sat for longer than Richter realized, but ultimately, Pug let him know what came next.
Your life is on pause right now. No time has passed in the land, despite how it has felt. We are now at your true moment of choice.
True moment of choice? Richter echoed.
Yes, Pug told him. None of your people have ever made their way back into the realm of chaos without dying. It was thought to be impossible. You have only done so through an interplay of powerful magics. The likelihood of this one eventuality occurring was so unlikely among all the eventualities of the infinite curve that it was not properly accounted for. It was a glitch, if you will, that has now been corrected. Once you awaken, this entire experience will feel like a lucid dream, and as with all dreams, many of the details will be lost immediately upon waking, and the rest will fade over time. In the end, all that will remain will be vague resonances buried in the deepest parts of your unconscious. And while it is true that each death will bring you back to the realm, never again should your conscious mind perceive it, unless you are invited.
Richter nodded, wondering where this was going. It felt like an ending.
While some of the lords wish to destroy you utterly for the impertinence of invading their home, it was decided due to your
choice
of freedom being your core value and your status as the catalyst of the Age of Chaos that you would be given a choice instead. You may now return to Earth.
Pug said it so gently that for a moment it didn't even register to Richter. When he looked at the kindly-looking older man, though, the archetype nodded gently. With a simple gesture of Pug's arm, a portal of black crystal filled with a brilliant green energy field appeared against one wall. Richter's heart began thudding painfully as the archetype continued to speak.
You may leave the land to its own fate, knowing that no matter what happens, it will not affect the earth until your grandchildren die of old age. You must know, however, that the actions the lords were forced to take to protect your world from the courts have changed it. Things will be very different now, and your life may not be the same.
The archetype helped him to his feet and walked him over to one wall. Placing his hand upon it, he pushed.
Or you may choose the world out there.
The wall fell away, and the land was revealed. The two of them were hovering high above the planet. So high that Richter could see the curve of the planet while it rotated beneath them. Even at that height, he could still see every mother holding her son and every monster consuming an innocent. He saw a world of adventure and danger, love and betrayal, power and wonder. A world that held his village and the hundreds of people who relied upon him. A world that held Sion. A world that held Alma. The seven faces of the Lords of Chaos appeared in a rotating circle, floating between him and Pug, and directly between the portal and the view of the land. Pug gestured to them.
Your panel of observers awaits your decision.
Richter looked back into the room at the portal that could lead him to Earth, then looked back down at the world turning beneath his feet. He felt pulled in both directions, and finally asked the one question he had not had the courage to ask before. To ask about the only other person who could possibly have been a fragment of his soul as well. Is she down there? In the land? Pug looked at him with profound sympathy and understanding, but slowly shook his head.
Your choice must be yours alone, and cannot be influenced by the choice of another. I cannot tell you the answer to your question, but I can tell you this. To know your true path, you must simply ask yourself this. What is happiness to you, Richter?
Richter thought about his life on Earth. He had been happy. He had been successful. He had even been loved, but he had been less than he was now. Each day had bled into the next. It was a life others dreamed of, but it had felt that way. Just a happy dream. Not one day had ever felt as real, as pure, as even his most dangerous times in the land. Even though Pug had removed the block on his emotions and he missed his family terribly, he also thought of his friendship with Sion, his love for Alma, and even his frustrations with Roswan, all memories that brought a faint smile to his face. Despite the danger and pain, every moment he had spent in the land, he had felt alive. Walking back to the portal, he laid one hand on the black stone. Then he looked at Pug.
I want to live a real life. I don't want to dream any longer.
The archetype smiled.
I wish you well, Richter.
The Chaos Seed ran to the edge of the room and dove off. As he fell, the seven faces of the Lords of Chaos rushed forward to revolve around him like planets around a sun. They whispered to him as he plummeted to his destiny.
People often hate and oppose us because our methods cause destruction, but it is necessary,
one began.
But what is existence without change?
Another continued.
Some must die and make room so that new life can grow. You, our servant, must return.
As Richter fell, his body was stripped away, leaving only his core. His seed sank through the sea of chaos and was nourished. If ever he would find completion, it would be here. Despite that, the small wisp of chaos cried its choice to leave the perfection of the fathomless possibility of the sea in order to serve its lords and embrace its choice.
You have said so before,
stated a face of pure anger.
And will again,
continued a face in mocking laughter.
A thousand times you have stood before us. You will know us. We make ourselves known as jewels in the night.
Always hated in the moment, but cherished for centuries to come.
We are the agents of inevitable change.
It is our words that drive you, our most loyal child.
All seven faces spoke as one.
First of all, servants of all, we shall transcend all.
I love you, my lords!
The spark called out in a quiet voice as loud as the creation of all things.
Yes,
they intoned, accepting everything that Richter could give. There was no gentleness. Chaos could not afford it, but there was a sense of unity in their acceptance. They continued speaking as one.
And now you must forget. Forget us. Forget your comfort. Forget your sense of belonging. Feel the need for more, the hunger, the desire, for that is what drives you. Forget us, and forget what you have sacrificed in your old life. Question everything but your place in the land. Remember, the way is forward, never back.
Live!
Chapter 94, Day 149, Kuborn 39, 0 AOC.
Durr!
Alma cried before looking at him in confusion. Richter was standing before her with a smile on his face and love in his eyes.
What happened?
She asked, panic still in her voice.
That great tear sucked you in and you vanished, but now you're here an instant later.
He began, then realized he didn't know himself. The answer was right there at the tip of his mind, but the more he chased it, the farther it retreated. Ultimately, he just had to shake his head.
I'm not sure, my love, but...
He looked at the pyramid that was now fading from view.
I don't think we have anything to fear from that anymore.
But what happened? She asked again.
Richter screwed up his face, still trying to remember, but each flash of memory he snatched at broke apart like ash on the wind. He had a vague remembrance of a kindly old man. Then his conscious mind recoiled from the images. They were so alien and deep inside of him that there was a knot of pure sorrow he subconsciously decided that he just didn't have time to deal with. He forced it down even deeper. It would have to be dealt with later.
I survived, he pronounced after a few moments.
It was the only thing he knew definitively. He looked at her in love and gratitude.
Because of you.
Then he remembered that though things looked fine in the mindscape, in the real world, time was passing. When the Miseji ended, he would once again be stuck in the forest, blinded and with a broken jaw. He had to get back to the village and seek help before that happened. Even without that countdown hanging over his head, he was still in the middle of the forest alone, and the scent of blood on the air might attract monsters. Richter focused his consciousness on the real world. He was still kneeling over Heman's body, and only seconds had passed since the man had died. The claws of his right hand remained embedded in his enemy's chest. After he removed them with a faint sucking sound, Richter's forked tongue snaked out almost of its own accord. It licked the blood coating his talons, and his dragon body enjoyed a moment of pure pleasure at the taste of his foe's spent life. A moment later, he shook himself out of the feeling and looked at his hand in shock. Had he really just done that? There was still so much he didn't know about the Miseji, but he couldn't let it turn him into something he wasn't. Richter looked around, in control once more, and took stock of the situation. Just as he had thought would happen, Heman's interdimensional cubby had disappeared with the Chaos Seed's death. He allowed himself a chuckle, hoping the bastard enjoyed the parting gift Richter had left him. That dark humor was just as bestial as tasting the blood, but this time he didn't even try to pretend that the impulse wasn't pure him. He searched the ground, hoping to find something left behind by the slain lightning demon, but just like with his own summonings, nothing was left behind after death. Richter had always wondered if there might be a way to summon creatures, kill them, and then harvest their components. That would be very useful knowledge to have. The Chaos Seed shrugged. It was knowledge he didn't have yet. Seeing nothing else of import, he pulled Heman's body into a fireman's carry and stood. Richter began casting. Tendrils of mist rose from the ground and formed a bubble 10 feet wide. 9 seconds later, he appeared outside of the dungeon mouth. One new guard shouted, "Demon!" and raised his sword to attack, but he was quickly cuffed by his squad leader. The senior guard recognized her lord and clapped her fist to her chest in salute. Richter just nodded and took off at a sprint towards the village gate. Heman's corpse flopped around over his shoulder, but he didn't let such a minor consideration delay him. The guards at the gate also had a negative reaction when he ran up, most of them not knowing about their lord's new dragon form, but Tarad had made sure every squad leader was notified, so the misunderstanding was quickly resolved. Futin floated up while he ran to the healer's hut and then left just as quickly to find Randolphus as ordered.
"What is this?"
Sumiko shouted when he entered with the dead body. The healer guarded her domain of the healer's hut just as religiously as Krom guarded the Forge of Heavens. Richter, keeping one eye on the counter for his Miseji, recounted what had happened in the 30 seconds he had left. He started to tell her of the injuries he and Alma had suffered before she snapped at him for wasting time.
"I do not need your paltry reporting. I need to know exactly what I will be healing. Make a psychic bond and show me."
The crack in her voice left no room for refusal. Richter looked her in the eyes, and at the speed of thought, shared the fight with Heman, including the damage Alma had suffered. He stopped the playback after his breath attack, though. Richter didn't want her to see what he had done to Heman. though the man's injuries probably already told most of the tale. In his last seconds in the bond, he told her,
I need you to examine his body, in the same way you examined the Ghast's.
She looked at him sharply, but in the face of his draconian visage and harsh tone, Sumiko forewent her usual waspishness and just nodded.
By your will, Lord Mist.
Give the leftover pieces to Tabia,
he added coldly. In a softer voice, he gave one more command.
Heal Alma first.
Before Sumiko could respond to that, his message ended. Blue-white light left his body in a rush, coalescing into a ball in front of him. Richter's skin softened, his teeth blunted, and his face became human once again. Unfortunately, his injuries reappeared as well. His left orbital bone fractured, his eyes suffered major contusions, and his jaw shattered. The cumulative pain returning all at once made him drop to his knees. It was all he could do not to howl as the healers lifted him onto a cot. Then Sumiko's healing energy flowed into him, numbing the pain and beginning the first of several delicate spells required to restore his sight. His luck showed up again when he lapsed into unconsciousness. When Richter woke, he was in his own bed. He slowly opened his eyes, relieved that he could see again. He also worked his jaw from side to side, but there wasn't even a click. A familiar weight on his chest made him look down, and he was even more relieved that his familiar lay there, completely healed. She didn't even have her wings wrapped this time. Clearly, Sumiko was more comfortable healing the dragonling the second time around. After scratching her scaled head lovingly, he looked around and saw several people were waiting on him, but it was Randolphus who spoke first. The Chamberlain collapsed to his knees. His voice was raw with ragged emotion.
I failed you. I failed you again.
Richter looked at him in confusion.
Sumiko told me that you were attacked by one of the new villagers, a villager that I allow to stay here. I swear to you that I will repay this debt.
Breathe, man, Richter told him. There are things you don't know. Taking stock of who was at his bedside, he didn't see anyone he couldn't trust. Hisako, Sumiko, Sion, and Randolphus had all been waiting for him to wake up. He told them the entire story. When he finished, he looked at his chamberlain. So you see, he was one of my people. He had abilities that would have fooled even you.
I was going to apologize as well, my lord, Sumiko told him, for failing to detect his duplicity with my soul window spell. After seeing how powerful you are, however, I can understand why another of your people, another Chaos Seed,
she spoke the name of his race hesitantly, unsure how she felt about it,
might be able to fool even my Tier 5 spell.
She turned to Randolphus.
What I do not understand is why you believe you should have seen through his duplicity.
Neither she, Hisako, nor Sion knew his true nature as a spy. The Chamberlain just shook his head and looked to the side.
Did you learn anything from the body? Richter asked.
No,
Sumiko answered, shaking her head.
There are not many half-gnome, half-humans that I have heard of, but his anatomy showed nothing that I didn't expect.
Richter shook his head. So there's no way to detect another Chaos Seed by their body alone?
Not unless the identifying mark leaves at the time of death,
Sumiko concurred.
The Chaos Seed nodded. Well, hopefully Tabia can find something useful to do with his remains.
About that, Lord Richter,
Sumiko began.
I do not like the idea of handing bodies over to your alchemist for experimentation. It smacks of evil.
He fixed her with an almost callous glare.
We're at war, Sumiko, and we will use every tool at our disposal to survive. If you cannot accept that fact, then I will accept your resignation as village healer. There will be many more choices and acts we must all commit to before this is done. Let me know now if you are not up to the task.
Randolphus, Sion, and even Hisako remained silent. Sumiko looked back at him, stunned and momentarily at a loss for words, but ultimately replied,
I stand with you, Lord Mist.
Richter let out a breath he hadn't even known he was holding. He had meant every word he had just spoken, but there was no part of him that actually wanted to face the days to come without Sumiko.
Good.
Now I assume not much time has passed, seeing as how you all look calm and there is a battle on the horizon. But what exactly has been going on while I took my little nap?
He had been right about the time.
Only 6 hours had passed while he was unconscious. Night had fallen, but the evening meal was only now being served to his villagers. That was a relief. He still had settlement points to spend and would have been in an even worse mood than before if Heman's betrayal had made him waste them. Thankfully, other than finalizing the assault plans for the morning, nothing else had happened in the village.
"Are you hale enough to hear it?" Hisako asked.
Sitting up in his bed, Richter nodded. Hisako and Sumiko had both been studying the bone that triggered the Eldritch portal magic in detail for days. They had confirmed it could open a short-lived portal that anyone could step through, presumably to arrive back at the mausoleum. "Presumably?" Richter asked.
"Yes," Hisako answered. "Most of our information stems from the guest's memory. Taking it at face value makes several assumptions, not the least of which is that everything the Lich said was true."
Nodding sourly, he motioned for her to continue.
"Though the portal is meant to close shortly after one person walks through, I believe Sumiko and I can keep it open and even enlarge it."
"How?" Richter asked. "I thought you couldn't affect Eldritch magic. You even need the Decamer Knight to activate it."
"It is true that we cannot trigger the spell. But remember, Eldritch magic is parasitic. It is always a perversion of another power. The portal bone is created in large part by corrupted life and air magic. It has taken several days, but I am now fairly confident that I can keep the portal open for a short time."
"Fairly confident?" Richter repeated.
"I have not told you the worst part yet."
"Well, by all means, let's get to the worst part." She looked at him, seriously considering slapping the taste out of his mouth, but seeing as he had recently been tortured, she decided to let his tone pass.
"The problem is, you were correct. I cannot fully access the magic in the Fingerbone, so the portal will be unstable. The more people that pass through, the more unstable it will become. If that instability gets to a certain point, the portal could collapse, explode, or connect to another realm filled with horrors beyond our imagining."
It was dead quiet in Richter's bedroom while everyone digested that information. Sion was the one who broke the silence.
"This is the only plan we have, correct?"
"Yes,"
came Hisako's succinct answer.
"Then I suppose it's worth the risk," he concluded with false cheer.
Richter rolled his eyes at his best friend, but knew he was right. "If the portal becomes more unstable with every person that walks through it, then will the same thing be true when we try to come back?"
"Yes,"
Hisako said again. This time it was Randolphus who spoke up.
"That means, once 50% of the spell's stability is gone, we cannot send anyone else through, or some of those already attacking will be unable to return. Are you sure you will be able to gauge that point?"
"Roughly," she admitted.
Richter screwed his eyes shut and rubbed his forehead.
This was getting better and better.
"You know what? Just lie to me sometimes, Hisako."
"I'm 80. Now, 90% sure I will know," she told him. "It is not only the number of people we send that will affect the instability, however. The time the portal remains open will also be a factor. Everyone not involved in the attack will need to lend me their magic so I can keep it open as long as possible. But sooner or later, the portal will close."
Richter nodded. He had assumed she would use the special perk of her life mastery to draw upon the mana of others. "Can you give us any kind of estimate?"
"Not before the first of you go through the portal," she told him.
"So basically," he said in a speculative tone, "we are going to be invading the stronghold of a parasitic magic user via an unstable wormhole that might open into hell itself at any moment, and every person we send through on this raid increases the chance that none of us will make it back. Is that about it?"
"I do not know what a wormhole is, but the rest sounds fairly correct,"
Hisako told him. "Any other bad news?"
"Yes,"
she answered promptly. Richter looked at her like she had just betrayed him.
"The magic of the portal will destabilize faster the more other magics come in contact with it. That means I cannot send any summoned creatures with you, and you cannot cast any buffs on your troops until you land. Having active spells pass through the portal might cause unexpected side effects."
The Chaos Seed sighed heavily. "What about enchantments? Will the enchanted weapons and armor we'll be carrying cause a problem?"
"I do not believe so, as those are self-contained magical vessels. But again, This is all a best guess. We will not know until it is time for the battle. Which brings us to the next topic. We have only discussed half of the battle, however. The attack. We must also prepare for hostile forces. Not only would they destabilize the portal as soon as they cross the threshold of the portal, but high-level undead are a danger in and of themselves. The forces we leave here must remain on high alert.
Well, I have one piece of good news on that front, Richter stated. Then he filled them in on how the dungeon owed him a favor. If we open the portal in the dungeon, we can send its monsters through as a first wave, and we won't need to worry about bringing them back. The other bonus of the dungeon owing me a favor is that if any undead do manage to make it back through to our side, they'll still be trapped inside the dungeon. If the worst comes to pass, at least neither of our settlements will be put at risk.
Are you sure it will follow your direction? It was born of a bloodstone, Hisako asked dubiously.
It was Richter's turn to shrug. Only one way to find out. Now my next question is, just how big can you make the portal?
I should be able to enlarge it for a short time, though that might worsen the instability. Why?
Well, Richter began, filling her in on his plans for his new pet. I'll be entering the portal first, with the Tovut Mauler. That big bastard should be able to slice and dice even the high-level undead. I have to make this clear, however. No matter what happens, the Tovut Mauler cannot cross back through the portal. I would need to tame it more than 300 times to keep it loyal forever. I doubt I would even manage it once more.
Everyone nodded their understanding, and they moved on to the next topic. They talked for another hour, ironing out details like having teams of five prepared to dash into the portal one at a time, Hisako weighing the instability they caused each time. Richter finally bid them good night. Sumiko had done a wonderful job with his healing, but both the injuries and the powerful magic had taken a toll on him. As everyone filed out for the night, he raised one hand and asked Sion to stay. Soon, only the sprite and his familiar remained.
What is it, man? Sion asked.
Looking at his friend, Richter finally allowed that knot of emotion he'd pushed down after returning from Heman's memory to rise. He still had no real memory of what had happened, but despite that, the spiritual wounds were as real as if he'd been cut by a blade. As unshed tears filled Richter's eyes, Alma looked up at her master in love and concern. Sion walked closer until he was standing right in front of Richter.
Are you all right, my friend?
Richter didn't answer. Not with words. Instead, his newly healed jaw shook as he refused to let an audible sob leave his mouth. He would not allow for even the possibility that the guard stationed outside of the door might find out that their lord, the man they relied on to be larger than life, might actually just be human. With Sion, though, his brother, and the man he trusted above any other, he let his tears flow. Without words, for he did not consciously understand why he was feeling this pain, he shared his fears and his sorrow. He wept for his new world. He wept for the stillborn world that might have been, a world where the Chaos Seeds could have brought the best parts of their humanity to the land, not the worst. He mourned for the countless innocents that would be lost as a plague worse than eaters descended on this world. The plague of his people. A plague of chaos. A plague of predators. Sion rested his hand on his friend's shoulder and did what he could to ease the pain, but he did not hope to understand what was happening because Richter himself did not understand. A true companion, he stood by his brother as the Chaos Seed wept confused tears for the oceans of blood that would be spilled and the mountains of innocence that would be slain. His soul knew what his mind did not and remembered the horrors he had been showed in the realm of chaos. His spirit knew it could not stop what was to come, so it did the only thing it could. It cleansed itself with his pain, and every tear washed away some of the filth it had accumulated from asking questions to Pug that Richter's mind, body, and soul all wished they could forget. So far, only his mind had been that lucky, though there would one day be consequences for that as well. For long minutes, Richter wept, because his heart now knew that his people were not only the latest cataclysm to come to the land, they were the worst, and quite possibly the last. He cried every tear that he would ever shed over the role that he himself would play. After today, even his